Then there is Toadies with the Willows, Fillmore, New York, at Irving Plaza. Then Last Charge of the Light Horse, Brickhouse Brewery, Patchogue. And finally, Micah, the End Piece. Ever Since, Counterfeit Society, Life Without Warning. Get that, Life Without Warning. All at Sullivan Hall. And this has been Concert Billboard. And the word for the day is that, I don't know. I got too many words for every day, so you're not going to get any.
Well, that's fair enough, I suppose. It's 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time for Off the Wall. And giving to everybody, the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Is this the last Tuesday of May? I think it is. The year is just catapulting ahead, and we just can't stop it. It's incredible. A lot of, I guess, kind of historical events are taking place today, and we'll be going over some of those, giving folks a chance to call in, voice their various opinions, and things like that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be amazing. New Supreme Court Justice nominee just happened today, and we're going to have to learn how to pronounce her name. Yeah. I'm going to try. It's the first time I ever said this. Sotomayor, I think is how you say it. It looks like Sotomayor, but that's not how you're supposed to say it. Her name is Sonia Sotomayor. I'm pretty sure that I've got that right. But President Obama announced today he will nominate Sonia Sotomayor for the, she's a federal appeals judge right now, for the Supreme Court, choosing a daughter of Puerto Rican parents raised in a Bronx public housing project to become the nation's first Hispanic justice. And boy, does that set off alarm bells for Republicans. you've got the Bronx there, you've got Puerto Rico, Hispanic justice, a woman, it's, who knows what she's going to do, but undoubtedly something that'll worry them. The president said he had made his decision after deep reflection and careful deliberation, and no doubt after a few threats from liberals and Democrats saying you better pick a woman. Did you hear that? Over the weekend, that's all I was hearing, was that if Obama does not pick a woman, he's going to be in trouble with liberals. It's just incredible how the battle lines are drawn sometimes. So who knows if that had something to do with the decision, but it's kind of weird. He made it clear the judge's inspiring personal story was crucial in his decision. Obama praised his choice as someone possessing a rigorous intellect, a mastery of the law. But those essential qualities are not enough, said Obama, quoting Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes. Always good to quote a Supreme Court justice when you're nominating a Supreme Court justice. Always good to do that. He said, the life of the law has not been logic, it has been experience. It is vitally important that a justice know how the world works and how ordinary people live. Now, Judge Sotomayor said, my heart today is bursting with gratitude for all that you have done for me, she said to her family, describing her selection as the most humbling honor of my life. I stand on the shoulders of countless people, but towering above all, she said, is her mother, who raised her alone after her father died. I am all I am because of her, and I am only half the woman she is. Now, let's take a look at how Fox News is reporting this this particular story. Their headline reads, Sotomayor's judicial record could be battlefield for critics and advocates. They've already, I guess, tracked down what they consider to be some dirt. Republicans begin to take a closer look at her 2 decades on the bench. Oh, sorry, I seem to have gotten a text message here. My apologies for interrupting the program. I'm going to go into silent mode, which I should have done to start with. There we go. Republicans have been casting doubt on her objectivity, examining her record for signs of imprudent judicial activism and liberal bias. Yeah, do you think they'll be looking for conservative bias? I don't think so. I think they're just looking for a particular type of bias they don't like. Sotomayor, who would be the court's first Hispanic member and third woman, and who has touted her race and gender as an asset, frequently has argued in favor of minority plaintiffs and points of view. Yeah. Representative Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, said he's concerned that Sotomayor has shown personal bias based on ethnicity and gender. You know what bugs me about that? Is that somebody who rules in favor of individuals, minorities, females, people who have been neglected in the past and had to fight against great adversity to even attain equality. If you rule in favor of people like that, it's seen as showing personal bias, when in actuality, the bias has always been against these people. And by ruling in favor of them, you're more or less equaling things out a little bit. So, yeah, you can look forward to that being put under the microscope. Judge Sotomayor will need to reassure the country, because we're all so worried about this, that she will set aside her biases, uphold the rule of law, and interpret the Constitution as written, not as she believes it should have been written. Yeah, well, you know, Lamar Smith is not going to have any vote in the matter anyway, because the Senate, they're the people that that confirm things. You know, I don't understand why we even pay attention to people that just say things that will get people all riled up and don't really have any basis in reality. Like, for instance, why are we paying so much attention to what Dick Cheney is saying lately? Have you noticed that? He's all over the news. He's saying more now than he ever said in the 8 years he was vice president. But now he's going around saying how Obama is leading us into more terrorist attacks and making the whole country insecure, and people are listening to him. And people are saying, wow, yeah, this guy makes sense. You know, don't we remember what just happened? This guy, if nobody else, except for maybe one other person, should be completely ignored by everybody because of the way he completely helped to mess things up and took away constitutional rights and basically just walked all over this country as if it was his own personal backyard. So instead of listening to the guy, we should be filing all sorts of motions against him for the things that he should be held responsible for. But no, instead the media is like, well, Obama said this, now let's hear what Cheney has to say, as if he has any sort of legitimacy whatsoever. You know, Rush Limbaugh has more legitimacy than Dick Cheney. And yeah, I can't believe I said that either, but it's true. It's true. He doesn't have blood on his hands. Okay, getting back to this particular story, though, because this is today's news. They say, perhaps, and we're looking at Fox News' analysis of this, Sotomayor's most controversial decision possibly was Richie versus DiStefano, in which she was part of a panel ruling against a group of white firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut. Oh, it didn't take Fox News long to dig this up and phrase it in that particular way. They objected after the city threw out the results of a promotion test because too many white firefighters and not enough minority firefighters scored high. Now, listen to this. This one in particular, it just gives me a headache reading it. In another case, Sotomayor dissented in a 2006 opinion that rejected a challenge to a New York State law denying convicted felons the right to vote. What? Do you know how many phrases there are in that? How many negative words? Dissented, rejected, denying, all in one sentence. I don't know where she stands on this based on that sentence. Let's look this over nice and slowly, okay? Sotomayor dissented in a 2006 opinion that rejected a challenge to a New York law denying convicted felons the right to vote. Okay, you know, let's walk through this together. There was an opinion in 2006, we know that much, and Sotomayor did not agree with that opinion. Okay, and that opinion rejected a challenge. All right, so let's just eliminate that right there, because if the opinion rejected a challenge and Sotomayor dissented, that means that she agreed with the challenge. Okay, so that means Sotomayor agreed with the challenge to a New York law denying convicted felons the right to vote. Okay, so wait, convicted felons had the right to vote. There's a law denying convicted felons the right to vote. And Sotomayor agreed to challenge that law. Yeah, she agreed to challenge the law, which means she supports convicted felons' right to vote, which makes sense. Okay. That wasn't so hard. But seriously, the way they phrased that, my God. She argued in her own dissenting opinion that the state law disqualifies a group of people from voting. You know, I hope she said it a little bit more detailed than that, because that's pretty obviously what that kind of a law is. It's pretty obvious that a law that denies people, certain people, the right to vote is disqualifying a group of people from voting. So they're making it seem very simplistic. But yeah, convicted felons in New York do have the right to vote. In some states, they don't. And, you know, I think everybody, no matter what you do, If Hitler were alive and were an American citizen, he should have the right to vote as well. Everyone has that right to vote. Might not be, exactly what you want. You might not want their opinion to count, but as long as you're a human being, I think you should have the right to vote. That's just my own personal thing there. Anyway, okay, so we know that she sort of takes the, liberal stance on things. Boy, imagine that. So the confirmation process, it's about to start. Obama hopes that by October, which I guess is when the Supreme Court starts up for real in the fall, that she'll be seated by then. Wouldn't that be something? Okay, here's... we're going to break it up and read a letter from a listener, which has to do with something we were talking about a while ago. About another one of the radio shows that appears on our website, which is www.2600.com. This particular show, it's an old program, one from 1981, that I did at this place with with a friend of mine, Mike Uhas, and somebody had written in saying that they didn't know what a particular song was. I think it was on the, March 28th. Yeah, March 28th show. And we didn't know what the music was then. Or we knew what it was then, but I guess we never announced it, so it's not in the summation. If you go to www.2600.com/VOLI for Voice of Long Island, you'll see all the shows that have been posted so far. We're posting them one a week and in corresponding date order. So the one that just got posted was May something? Is there a calendar in here? Yeah, here's a calendar. May 23rd. So that was last Saturday. So that got posted May 23rd. I just listened to it, in fact. It's great. We were talking about animal lifespans for a good long time, talking about how long squirrels live for. And you might be surprised by the answer, but I'm not going to tell you here. You have to listen to that show to find out just what that was all about. But anyway, this person writes in. Charlie from Chico, California writes, you know, when we were doing that show, if we even thought that there was a remote possibility we'd ever have a listener from California, and yet 28 years later, that's exactly what we have. And not just California. We have listeners from all over the place. It's just it's simply incredible. Back then, you know, you could only get local calls. No point even giving out the area code because the only people calling in would be people who were nearby. But that just added to the homespun effect of the show. Anyway, dear Emmanuel, a friend of a coworker helped me identify these songs. I found out yesterday, maybe a couple hours before Off the Wall aired. This was a couple of weeks ago. He successfully identified the artist, and I found the actual album and track info by probing on iTunes, and I bought the album for Paul. Well, I'm not going to say how much you spent for it, but it wasn't very much, and you even got it DRM-free. And the artist was Joe Sample. Album Voices in the Rain, songs Eye of the Hurricane, Dream of Dreams, and Part of Shadows. You know, I'm going to check into this, and if that information checks out, we're going to modify the description online so that that information is reflected. And Charlie continues, thanks again for making VOLI, Voice of Long Island, that's what we call it, VOLI, available, and for Off the Wall and Off the Hook as well. I enjoy them all. Well, Charlie, thank you very much, and it's for people like you that we go to the effort to dig up these old tapes and digitize them and send them out to the world. And it's great to be able to compare what things were like back in the early 80s on the exact same date. Like last week we were talking about how Stony Brook is shutting down because the school year is over. It's the same thing happening now. Lots of differences, but lots of similarities as well. I mean, Reagan was president then, and now we have Obama, so the world was definitely a different place. But this brings to light an interesting thing that a lot of people have access to these days. If you have an iPhone, or I think other devices have this now too. You're actually able, there's an application where you can hold whatever device you have, let's say it's an iPhone, up to a speaker that's playing music. Let it play for a couple of seconds, and it will identify the song for you. It'll somehow check against the database. It'll tell you who the artist is, what the song is, what album it's on. How many times have you wanted to be able to do that? I'm talking about instrumentals, things without lyrics, things that it's not obvious. We've reached that particular stage in technological development where we can simply hold up a microphone to some sound, some recorded sound, and it can be identified. It's great, but it's also scary. You know, there's something similar with iPhoto, another Mac application where facial recognition is applied to photos. So if you, say, appear in a photo, you can check somebody else's photo album to see if your face shows up in any picture anywhere. Now, you know, it's kind of simple now. Hasn't been networked, but you know, the day is coming where you'll be able to scan everything all over the world and find certain people. Perhaps people who don't want to be found. So, yeah, the technology is definitely marching forward. But what I have right now, what I have for folks to experiment with themselves, any of you who have this particular device or ability to do this, I want to see if you can identify a song, a track that I have in my collection. I'm just curious how well this works. And if somebody can call in during this hour and tell me what this track is, I will be amazed. I will be flabbergasted. I will be knocked off my seat. And if somebody can call in or write in to odw@2600.com in the next week and let me know, I'd be somewhat surprised as well, although probably isn't nearly as hard. But I'm going to play this track. It goes about 2.5 minutes. And if somebody can call us up a little bit later, 631-632-9872, and let us know what that was and get it correct, I will really be amazed. Let's fire up our song recognition devices and tell me if you know what this is. And you might hear some weird sounds. That's not our equipment malfunctioning. That's actually the way it's supposed to sound. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Now, that's catchy, I think. All right, so if anybody is able to identify that based on their iPhone apps that recognize music or maybe just their personal knowledge, please call us in just a little bit when we give out the, we're going to give out the phone number now, but we'll take phone calls probably in about 10, 15 minutes, 631-632-9872. Some more listener mail. And again, you can write to us, otw@2600.com. It's the official email address for Off the Wall. Dear Emmanuel, I want to thank you for the great show. Always a delight to listen to. The music at the end of last week's show really caught my attention. I looked around the off-the-wall section of the 2600 website but could not find the artist or song name. Can you please tell us who it is? Signed, Lou. And Lou, I believe you're referring to this song that I played at the end of last week's show. And those of you who have the iPhone apps and other kinds of apps can instantly tell what this is, but I actually heard this song on WUSB, and I had the same reaction you did. It's got sort of that moody blues type of feel to it, but it's actually something brand new from a group called The Doves. Yes, The Doves, those, like birds that fly around. It's called Kingdom of Rust. In fact, it's the title track from that album. So, yeah, pretty cool. And it's great how we listen to each other's shows here on the station and hear all kinds of cool tunes, and we just want to know more about them. And that's why when people announce what they are, we write them down and furiously go out and get the records ourselves and turn other people on to them. So that's pretty cool. Okay, but enough of that. Here's another letter. Great show tonight. I don't know why people complain. I like it when you talk about the equipment. Well, I haven't talked about the equipment tonight, have I? No, I haven't complained about anything. I've had things to complain about, but I haven't actually complained myself. I've gotten over everything, so I'm able to function. Anyway, it lets me know I'm listening to a radio show with a transmitter and everything. Well, you hope there's a transmitter tonight. I don't know. Let's hope it's all working. Plus, there were a bunch of weird sounds at the beginning. It was kind of like listening to a broken version of The Voice of Long Island. Isn't that great? That makes you feel like you've accomplished a lot, where a show from 1981 that you were involved in is more technically adept than the one you're involved in today. That's just great. I'm disappointed in Obama, too, but I can kind of see it his way. He doesn't want to piss off the people he works with, and I bet the torture photos come out eventually anyway. This is what we were talking about last week, how he's backed down on releasing the photographs from Abu Ghraib and other places showing evidence of torture at the hands of Americans. I think it's important to get that out. But this listener continues, I do feel bad for the people in the photos. I can see why they might not want them to be released. I mean, I wouldn't want my ass in Naked Pyramid printed in a newspaper. That's one perspective, I suppose. But you know what? If you were victimized or if your relatives were victimized, I think the quote-unquote shame of that takes a backdoor to possibly getting justice. I don't know, but people do have different views. That's true. Continuing here, I also think congressional hearings or a commission or whatever on torture won't do any good since it would be a whitewash. We never punish people who have that much power. If Congress wants to investigate abuse, I'd rather they investigated our prisons here, like the guy who tried to sue Ashcroft. Sadly, I doubt anything he experienced was too out of the ordinary for our system of justice. Signed, M. Thank you very much, M, for writing in with that. And finally tonight, a longtime fan, I actually got to meet you at Hope this last year, back in 2008, which was a great honor. Well, thanks very much. On the May 12th show, I do have a few disagreements. I own a few assault weapons, which I've actually saved my life twice in the gunfight. Okay, you know, that's great. If you get into gunfights, then yes, I recommend that you do have assault weapons on you. Most people I know, though, go through days without having gunfights, and most of the people I know have never had a gunfight. But if you're in the kind of world where that kind of thing happens, then be protected. And here's the thing that really gets me. It's okay to have assault weapons and guns of all sorts in the eyes of society, but having a bulletproof vest, that's something that's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. That I don't get at all. That I do not get. You can actually be prosecuted for having a bulletproof vest. I guess you're sort of inviting trouble or something. I don't know. Anyway, before that, I was fired upon 3 times for declining to buy drugs and had to run for my life. Well, you know, that's never I get offered all the time for people to, for me to invest in somebody's product. And, usually they say, have a nice day when I walk away. They don't fire at me or even throw things. As you might imagine, it's different here in Texas. You know, I always imagined it was different in Texas. I didn't know it was that different, but it's different, all right. We get a lot of illegal drug imports over the border. And some issues are a lot worse here. Well, you know, we're next to New Jersey, so we have a lot of border issues as well with drugs. So we understand that. I now carry a pistol, and I have a hard time finding ammo for it, as you mentioned. Well, you know, a suggestion. Conserve on firing the rounds, and you'll have lots of ammo. The reason we have an ammo shortage in this country is because people are being wasteful as far as how often they fire at people. Usually one shot can take somebody out. You don't need to fire 50 times, even if you're feeling emotionally that's the right thing to do, and you feel like you have to make a point by continuously firing into the prone body lying on the street. Just one to the side of the... I can't believe I'm saying these things. But this is how people think. Yeah, conserve your ammo. Definitely conserve your ammo. But mostly, no, it's because of the panic that's spreading throughout the country because people think that Obama and the secret UN army is going to march in and take away everybody's guns. It's really pretty silly. As I've heard from friends in law enforcement and federal enforcement, they have had a hard time finding ammo for practice also. I really do think it's an issue. I should be at the end of the line as a civilian, but our law enforcers have some ammo, should have ammo available. I think you would agree. Yeah, you know, I've never actually heard of cases where they've run out of ammo. I remember back in the Rodney King riot days, some cops had to raid a gun shop to get ammo. That's the only time I can think of, in this country anyway, cops or agents of any sort not having enough ammo. And usually it's just a question of not having access to where the stockpile is, because they're out in the field someplace, and they can't carry all that much with them. But I really, you know, I think there are a lot more important things that we're on the verge of running out of. And bullets, it doesn't really make the top of the list for me. Anyway, thanks, Keaton, I think that's how you pronounce your name, for writing in. And again, our email address, otw@2600.com. Love to hear from you, all kinds of different opinions. Thrown back and forth here on this show. That's what it's all about. Okay, something else that happened today, which was pretty historic, I think. The California Supreme Court upheld a ban on same-sex marriage today, ratifying a decision made by voters last year at a time when several state governments have moved in an opposite direction. Now, it's an interesting decision because while they upheld that ban, what that means is that the voters turned out and said, we don't want gay marriages in California. And California is big on these referendums where basically people decide things. Some say that's good, some say that's bad, especially when people are stupid and get things wrong. But that's how it is over there. That's how they do things. So today that decision was basically upheld by the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court. But they preserved the 18,000 marriages that were performed before the court's decision last May. Between the court's decision last May and the passage by voters in November of Proposition 8. Now, supporters of the proposition argue the marriages should no longer be recognized. So it's an interesting decision because, well, it kind of annoys everybody to some degree because the proponents of Proposition 8 wanted those 18,000 marriages to be thrown out. And, of course, the people who want Proposition 8 to be thrown out, well, they're upset that that didn't happen as well. You know, I'm probably going to annoy a lot of people saying this, but I think this is the right decision. I really do. Now, the reason... I mean, I would love to see Proposition 8 never existing in the first place and for voters to have completely gone a different way. The fact of the matter is they didn't. The fact of the matter is they made the wrong decision. In my view, certainly they made the wrong decision. Now, if you have a court come in and simply overturn that because, well, you know, we think you're wrong, I think that might wind up with more of a backlash around the country than anything else. Right now, what we can say is, these people in California are stupid. They don't believe in equal rights. They're basically taking a step backwards. But that's where the work needs to be done, to get to these people or to get more people to outnumber them. Rather than have a court come in and simply say, nope, you know, we're not going to listen to you because we agree that you're stupid. Now, you know, there are exceptions to this. For instance, in the civil rights movement, where people were actually not able to live in various places or go to schools or things that are very, very basic. Now, marriage is something that I don't really have all that much value for myself. So maybe I'm belittling it a little bit. But it seems to me that you can live your life just fine without being married. I mean, yeah, it's a slap in the face to say that you're not going to get equal rights, you're not going to be exactly the same, you're not going to be treated the same way, have the same benefits. And that's something that I think really needs to be fought vigorously. But to compare it to basic human rights that say you're not allowed to live in a house, you're not allowed to go to a particular school, or you're not allowed to be paid the same, things like that. I think that's where it's of such urgency that courts, governments do need to sometimes step in and say, you know, the people have it wrong here. And in the interest of fairness, in the interest of equality, this has to be overturned. In this particular case, I think most people are still learning that, yes, in fact, this does have to do with equality. This is a question of civil rights. A lot of people haven't yet gotten there. And there's a danger in jumping the gun and telling everybody that they're wrong rather than having a dialogue first. So I think the time right now is for that dialogue to really begin in earnest, and for as many states as possible to ratify gay marriages and say recognize them. Here in the Northeast, we're actually seeing a lot of progress. Almost every state in New England now, and of course we have Canada. So that's progress, and eventually, and hopefully relatively soon, people will vote a different way. Now, that's another way of pushing this forward. You have more referendums. Every year you have a referendum until you get the desired result. So I think that's really the best way to move forward on this. I know people will disagree with this, and I'm sure I'll get all kinds of mail about how that's not fair. But, you know, I'm just a little wary of seeing people vote for something and then having a court overturn it. What's going to happen from that is people will say, okay, well, then it's obvious that we have no say. We live in some kind of a republic that basically takes away our right to vote. And then you have all kinds of right-wing rhetoric floating around that people actually start to believe. Far better to convince people. For instance, Philadelphia, Mississippi just elected a black mayor. Philadelphia, Mississippi, if you recall, the site of one of the worst murders in the whole civil rights movement back in the 60s. And now they actually have a black mayor. The people have changed. The people are different. The viewpoint is completely 180 degrees different than it was back then. People realized they were wrong, or maybe they just were eventually replaced by more people who didn't share the same values. So the point is, people do change. Given time, given information, given persistent opposition. Now, there's all kinds of other things we can do, too. We can lead boycotts, I suppose. We can not have conventions in California. We can say, well, until you get it right, we're going to apply all kinds of pressure. But, you know, that's something else that people disagree on. People who live there might not really appreciate that. People who are on the right side of this. So it's a difficult decision. But I think in this particular case, what the Supreme Court did was, I think they sent a message by saying those marriages are still valid. I think they're saying that eventually the people are going to realize that they're wrong on this. And when they do, those marriages are still going to be there. So it's all kind of on hold till they get it right. Meanwhile, last week, before the Eurovision finals in Moscow, this wasn't reported nearly enough. Dozens of people were arrested when riot police broke up a gay march in Moscow. Campaigners had gathered in defiance of an official ban on homosexual demonstrations in Russia. Moscow city authorities had said the rally was morally wrong. See, that there is so much more ground that needs to be covered in other parts of the world. And this is something, strong message needs to be sent to them as well, that this kind of thing just will not stand. Among those arrested was the high-profile British gay rights activist Peter Tatchell and an American campaigner, Andy Thayer. I'm with the Gay Liberation Network in Chicago, and I'm proud to be here part of this demonstration, he said as he was dragged away. The mayor of Moscow, Yuri Lushkov, has condemned gay parades as satanic, and counter-demonstrators echoed his views. An Orthodox Christian youth group said homosexuality had no place in Russia. It's incredible to me. You're talking about homosexuality, and who do you go to for an expert opinion? Somebody from an Orthodox Christian youth group. You know? I mean, who would know less about that particular culture? You know? How many times do you see an atheist quoted on religious matters? Doesn't really happen, does it? Anyway, we want to protest firmly and say no to this gay pride, which is an act of soul terrorism. Well, that's the kind of quote you're going to get if you talk to people like that. Now, missing from this article is what the gay rights people say about Orthodox Christians and what their place in the world is and whether they should be allowed. Wonder why they don't ask them that. Anyway, the gay rally coincided with the Eurovision Song Contest being held in Moscow this year, which has a strong gay following. Some performers reportedly threatened not to sing if the gay march was banned. In fact, I believe the Netherlands was one of those countries that was going to protest, but they got eliminated before the final, so they weren't able to actually protest like that. But there are the ways to have voices be heard. Imagine what it must be like to live in a place like that. And to feel that kind of fear. It happens everywhere. And it's world pressure that makes a difference more than anything else. Okay, you know, I don't want to say these words, but I feel I must, because I think people need to kind of have some sense smacked into them sometimes. And, well, all right, I'm just going to come out and say it. And the effect of this, you'll feel kind of a, well, you know that sort of feeling in your stomach you get when you hear something shocking, that sort of feeling of dismay. And, you know, you might actually feel a tremor of fear and almost panic, I suppose. All right, don't panic. I don't want people to panic. I just want them to realize that what I'm about to say is a very real possibility, and it's something that we could all be saying relatively soon. Maybe if you have children in the room, I'll give you a couple of seconds to get them out, and anybody with a heart condition perhaps as well. All right? Yeah, or just turn down the radio for the next couple minutes. Okay, everybody out? Good, okay. Governor Giuliani. Yeah. Governor Giuliani. New York State Governor Rudolph Giuliani. That, my friends, is a very real possibility, because this guy Patterson keeps having record low polls. And, you know, I don't know exactly what it is he's doing wrong, but it's not good for the future, because the Republicans are going to move in, and Giuliani is a pretty strong candidate, and he's looking for something to do. He's getting into street fights now in the Hamptons, I understand. But other than that, he's going to want something with a paycheck attached. Yeah. So either Patterson needs to start giving things away on street corners, or somebody from that particular party has to replace him. Somebody popular. Yeah, maybe Andrew Cuomo. He continues to have good poll numbers, but only 18% of registered voters thought positively about Governor David Patterson. 81% negative. And it's pretty much the same results that we've seen over the past few months. Now, a slightly higher proportion from April, 15% compared to April's 12%, said they would elect him in 2010. But 71% said they plan to vote for someone else. These are trouble signs. These are, yeah, definitely something to worry about. Now, also, support for same-sex marriage is now evenly divided. Now, last month, it was 53% to 39%. This month, 46 to 46. What's going on? Yeah, it's really something. Now, Patterson, when asked about voters' ambivalence towards same-sex marriages, he said, "Certainly it would seem that the votes would be there to pass in the legislature. What we are talking about are legal rights denied unmarried couples." So this is definitely something that needs to be pushed. But yeah, I'm pretty worried about what could happen to this state. Because, you know, we've already seen what happens when Giuliani is a mayor. A lot of divisiveness, a lot of stupidity. Governor, I don't know. Something that we all need to realize. Okay, safe to let the kids back in. I just wanted to let people know that. Okay, 631-632-9872. I'm going to go into delay. I assume some phone calls will come in. And if anybody has any answers on the song challenge we issued a little while ago, by all means, call us. 631-632-9872.
Hey, this is Toby from Youth Group. You're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook. Whoop.
And thank you very much for that. Waiting for the first phone call to come in. I don't know if anybody has an answer yet. But I have faith in our listeners who span the globe, that somebody will get it. And if not, you know, if you just have something to say about some of the things that we've been discussing, then by all means, call up anyway. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, the internet thing.
Yes, where are you calling from, first of all?
Within 10 seconds, it came up as "Only You Can Rock Me" by Negative Land.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. So wait, what did you do to get that?
I opened the application on my iPhone. I pointed it at the speaker, and it took about 20 seconds of audio, maybe a bit less, and then chewed on that for about 5 seconds, and then gave me a link with iTunes and biography of Negative Land and a full discography. And
you know, I said I'd be blown away. I am blown away by that. You know, there's no beat, there's no melody, there's no words, and somehow it's just noise.
Yep.
This application was just able to do that.
Yeah, there's one where if you take a picture of a movie poster with your iPhone and take a picture, it'll send it off to the server. And it comes back and it's got what the film is, who's in it, IMDb links. If you let it know where you are with the GPS, it'll tell you which cinemas near you are going to show that movie.
Wow. And do you realize what's going to happen soon? If you just take a picture anywhere in the world, it'll be able to tell you where you are, what that building is, when it was built, anything. It won't be able to hide any place anymore.
It looks that way.
Oh, boy.
I think with Google Street View and things like that, it's going to have all the pictures of the buildings. It's not going to be too hard to figure out which building is which once you've got all that indexed.
Okay, so I guess the next challenge is figuring out ways to hide somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow. Okay, well, thanks for doing that. You scared me pretty good.
It scared me when it came up.
Yeah, it's a good album, though. I recommend it.
I'm going to check it out now.
You have to be in a good mood for it, though. All right, take care.
Love the show. Take care.
All right. Yeah, Negative Land, the album is called Death Sentences of the Polished and Structurally Weak, and all the song titles have absolutely nothing to do with the sounds being put forth. Like, yeah, Only You Can Rock Me. That doesn't really fit with the song we heard or piece we heard or whatnot. But, yeah, check it out. A whole album full of sounds like that. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. I tuned in a little late. I heard you talking about gay rights in Moscow and everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's interesting. You you mentioned that the newspaper had some religious fellow commenting on gay people.
Yeah, they always do that. They always have some person from the religious right commenting on something like that.
Well, yeah, you see a lot of that here in the U.S., mm-hmm. and you get a lot of like people writing editorials that will say, you know, anything they want about like the gay community and the atheist community,
mm-hmm.
and there's very little mainstream backlash over it, and it's really kind of amazing because if they said any things about any other group, they wouldn't have a job.
Right, because these groups are still seen as fringe, you know, it's an aberration to be gay or to be an atheist or, you know, and it used to be the same way to be any sort of minority. But, you know, I'm just a little leery of yanking people too quickly into this because then you have all kinds of backlashes and people saying, oh, everyone's just, you know, out for this liberal agenda. And that's not what it is at all. These are basic human rights. People need to be able to understand that and have it explained to them in ways they can understand.
Yeah, well, I'm in, interestingly enough, I'm in Iowa, which ruled that gay marriage was legal here back in early April.
Uh-huh.
And it was a surprisingly quiet thing, unlike California, because it was just a Supreme Court case, Iowa Supreme Court case.
Mm-hmm.
And after it went through, there's been all this backlash out of nowhere, and people are saying the stupidest things. We have one of our state senators complaining that the whole Iowa is going to become the Las Vegas of gay marriage. And I'm sitting here thinking, how in the world is that a bad thing? Why don't we like tourism dollars?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want Las Vegas necessarily, but yeah, gay dollars are great. I mean, they're as good as any other dollar, so absolutely. And when someone makes remarks like that, I think it's up to you to spread them around and make sure the world hears it, because when they're really stupid, then the reaction will shame people into rethinking their positions.
Yeah, it's been ridiculous. We've been getting... We've been getting these weird TV ads. I don't know if you've seen them, the coming storm ads that have been showing up in our state.
I have seen those, yes.
They're so bad, I can't help but wonder if they're elaborate parodies. But
oh, I wish they were. I really wish they were. You would like to describe like some of the things that are said in them?
Well, the funniest thing is they start off by saying that they are a rainbow coalition for protecting marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And last I checked, rainbow is a very popular symbol in the gay community.
Yeah, they use these little words and catchphrases to try and make you think like they represent something they don't.
Well, yeah, and they talk about how they're going to lose choices and they're going to be, you know, forced into this lifestyle over the Supreme Court ruling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there wondering just what world they're from.
Yeah.
Because it's so utterly insane what they're saying.
You can probably see these on YouTube if you type in those words. The coming storm is what it is, right?
Yeah, and the group is like the National Organization of Marriage, which...
Now, I've heard about them. I've heard about the National Organization of Marriage. And, you know, okay, people who want gay marriage should belong to this group then, because marriage is marriage, right? So why don't they join this group in great numbers and simply change the direction they're going in? Because obviously they're misguided, and they need to be steered back onto the righteous path.
I kind of like that idea, actually.
All right, well, that's how you have to do it sometimes. But anyway, yeah, keep us updated as to what goes on in Iowa. Do you think if it came to a resolution now, do you think they would lose?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
Well, if it came to a resolution, if a popular vote over whether gay marriage should be allowed in Iowa or not, what do you think would happen right now?
Well, that's a tough choice. That's a tough thing to try and call, because such a vote can't happen for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if it happened right now, what's your gut feeling?
Well, I think it would be very close, and I think the scales would be tipped by the Mormons again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's why the dialogue is so essential now. That's why that needs to happen. Well, listen, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for calling and for raising those points.
Good one.
All right, take care. All right, and that's going to do it for us here on this show tonight. I want to thank everybody for calling in. otw@2600.com. That's our email address. Always love to hear from our listeners. And here's a tribute to band member Jay Bennett from Wilco, who died over the weekend. Only 45 years old. And here's some of their music. It's referred to as alternative country. For those of you country music haters out there, maybe this will open up your eyes and make you realize it's not all black and white. Have a good night.
Back in your old neighborhood, cigarettes taste so good, but you're so misunderstood. You're so misunderstood. There's something there that you can't find. When you're telling a lie, you hurt her, but you don't know why. You love her, but you don't know why. You showed on long-term goals. Rock and roll. It's only a quarter to three, reflecting off of your CD. You're looking at a picture of me. You're staring at a picture of me. Take the guitar for a ride. See, ain't never been satisfied. He thinks he owes some kind of debt. Beat years before he gets over it. Touch turns to lead. You think you might just crawl back in bed. the fortune inside your head. I know you're just a mama's boy, positively unemployed. So misunderstood. You're so misunderstood.
Listening to WUSB's Stony Brook.